Hey there again. This is me, Praying Medic. It is a little bit after 7 p.m. Eastern. Welcome to my nightly news update. I'm here live, roughly 7 o'clock Eastern every night, Monday through Friday, giving you the news and when Q is dropping. I'll give you Q updates, and Q has been busy. Have a lot of information to cover. I don't want to waste too much time, so let's jump into our decode for today. All right, so those of you who are following along at home, looking for Q posts, you probably noticed that Q Map is no longer available. You can still find Q posts on a couple of different websites, qalerts.app. I'll give you a little bit of information about that. If you have an Android device and you want to get notifications on your phone, you can go to qalerts.app and they have instructions on the website about how to manually install the app on your phone. It's not available through the Play Store. There's a Telegram chat that you can join to get notifications if you have an iPhone. Q posts are also available on qag.news, as well as qanon.pub and Q posts online. All right, so we have this post from Q. This is from yesterday, last night. Q posted a meme of the president and all these guns pointed at him. DNC, Politico, MSNBC, New York Times, Clinton Machine, entertainment industry. And Q wrote, he gave up everything. He knew his life and the lives of his family would forever change. He knew, knows in brackets, the consequences. A man who had everything, why would he do it? That is a really good question. Why would he do it? Well, I think he did it because he loves this country. Last night, Q posted this. How close did we come to losing it? What if she got in, Hillary Clinton? What would happen if she was elected? What if she got 3+ Supreme Court justices? What if she got 300+ judges? What if rogue elements remained, plus more were added within FBI, CIA, NSA, State Department, DNI, White House, IRS, Department of Homeland Security, ICE, World Health Organization, CDC, etc. What if our military remained financially starved? What if foreign backers continued to control America's policies? Because under Barack Obama, America's foreign policies were controlled by foreign nations. What if our borders remained open? What if China was given the keys? What if? This is not about Republican versus Democrat. Q. It has actually never really been about Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus conservative. That's a distraction. It's always been about right versus wrong, good versus evil. Okay, last night, Q posted this. Why are we being censored? We being QAnon. After the announcement yesterday that Facebook is going to remove groups and pages that promote Q and is going to remove Instagram accounts that promote Q, I expect we're going to see more censorship coming from Twitter and YouTube. It's just going to get worse. So Q is asking, why are we being censored? Why are we being attacked daily? Why are we being condemned by Congress? 1984, thought crime? If you haven't read 1984, you might want to check that out. A lot of the allusions to things in that book are actually coming true. What happens when people are no longer allowed to think freely? What happens when people are no longer allowed to challenge their authority? What happens when people no longer fight back? Q. That is a thing. We need to keep fighting back. We need to always fight back and never give in. All right, and Anon posted this. It is a screen cap of a tweet by the president from last night, where the president said, I have fully authorized the total declassification of any and all documents pertaining to the single greatest political crime in American history, the Russia hoax, likewise, the Hillary Clinton email scandal. No redactions. That was a retweet of Paul Sperry, who his tweet was, when all the documents are finally declassified and all the redactions removed, from reports, the nation will see that the FBI and CIA not only knew Russia collusion allegations against Trump were a political dirty trick, but they were also in on the trick. All right, so President has authorized declassification and Q posted Red October. Now, I just want to say something here. Just because the President has authorized declassification, that doesn't mean the documents are going to come out immediately. The President has actually authorized the declassification of these documents several times. He gave the authority to Attorney General Barr back last year, I forget when exactly it was. He also instructed former Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats to declassify and make public these documents. He didn't do it. Now, I'm not saying that Bill Barr is a bad guy. I'm not saying that he's, you know, a deep state sympathizer. What I am saying is that it's not a simple process. The process of getting these documents declassified is actually pretty involved. The President can't just march into the CIA and take a file cabinet full of documents and haul it out and give it to the public. It's not how it works. The Director of National Intelligence has to request the documents from the FBI, from the CIA, from the State Department, from the Defense Department. The people that are in charge, they receive these requests, they have to respond. The agency directors can get in the way. The documents have to be turned over, and then there's a discussion about how they're going to be redacted. And a lot of this involves the process of, well, there's these objections. We're going to be disclosing sources and methods. We're going to be disclosing sensitive information. We don't want to, you know, make certain people's names public. Or the agencies might say, we don't actually have authority over that document, or we don't control what happens to it, so we can't release it to you. Right. So there's this argument, there's this fighting back and forth over certain documents, over whether the agency has the right to turn it over, and then if they turn it over, under what circumstances. That's why this process is going to take a while. I don't anticipate we're going to see massive releases of documents immediately. However, there was some action on that today, so let's keep going. Q responded to that Red October. This was last night. And that was, Q said, think about the drop today, this is yesterday, regarding Senator Johnson, regarding redactions, the GSA versus FBI, let's see what happens. Think POTUS today, no redactions, do you see what happened? All right, so yesterday, Q said three times, let's see what happens. First time was a link to a Ron Johnson video where he was complaining about the FBI not turning over documents, except ones that were completely redacted. And Q said, let's see what happens. And then Q posted another post. It was an article by John Solomon. It was, again, about declassification, and Q said, let's see what happens. And then there was a third article, Fox News, and Q said, let's see what happens. All right, so you have three times Q talks about declass and says, let's see what happens, and then that night, the President says he's authorizing declassification. So Q is simply pointing out to us that, you know, how did he know that the President was going to talk about declassification that night, specifically authorized declassification? That's what this is about. All right. Speaking of declass, so today, DNI, John Ratcliffe, has released about 1,000 pages of requested documents to John Durham's investigation. So these were documents that Durham's team requested, and the DNI was able to locate these documents, and they're being turned over to Durham's team. So this is a statement from Ratcliffe's office. At my direction, the ODNI has now provided almost 1,000 pages of material to the Department of Justice in the response to Mr. Durham's document requests. I'll continue to ensure the intelligence community's responsiveness to the DOJ's request. We also look forward to supporting the DOJ in further declassification consistent with their investigation. As the President made clear, we must be appropriately transparent with the American people and give them the confidence that the extraordinary work of the intelligence professionals is never misused or politicized. Well, it has been misused and politicized in the past. So hopefully we're turning a corner. All right. This post from Q came in last night. And this is in reference to three things that all happened on January 15th of 2020. On that date, on January 15th, the USA and China signed their Phase 1 trade deal. It was executed. And Q puts in brackets, China had a bad day. Number two, the impeachment articles from the House were released by Nancy Pelosi that day, walked, delivered to the Senate. Attack against versus POTUS was a coordinated plan for a specific day, right? Because they had these articles of impeachment in December. I think December 16th is when they actually voted on them. And she waited a month to deliver them. Why did she wait? Did she wait for a specific day? And then number three, first COVID-19 case lands at SeaTac Airport in Seattle. Attack versus POTUS. Mathematical probability of all of these things happening on the same day. Natural versus controlled. Who benefits the most? Evil surrounds us. Q. All right, we have a tweet here from Technofog this morning. So Sidney Powell filed on behalf of General Flynn a motion to disqualify Judge Sullivan. Now, in their hearing at the end of September, Sidney Powell brought this up. Sullivan said, well, have you filed a motion on that? She said, no. And she said, but you bet I'm going to. So today, she said that Judge Sullivan's false and defamatory comments to General Flynn echoed those of Rachel Maddow. He appointed a conflicted amicus, and he has become shrill and prejudicial. These are some of the statements from the motion. I found this as well. These are some other statements that Sidney Powell has made over the past couple of months. So in October, she said, instead of doing so, the government has continued to defy its constitutional, ethical, and legal obligations to this court and to the defense, and to hide the evidence that it knows exonerates Mr. Flynn. As is the essence of the problem here, instead of protecting its citizens, the government is protecting its own criminal conduct and its operatives. In an interview with Vicki McKenna, she said that General Flynn was going to audit the intelligence agencies because he knew about the billions of dollars that Brennan and company were running off the books, Powell said, referring to former CIA Director John Brennan. All right. And this is Judge Rao, in a dissenting opinion, said, on Judge Sullivan, if there is any doubt up to this point whether his conduct gives the appearance of partiality, that doubt is gone. So we have this from CNN. All right, keep your booze down to a low hush. In an unprecedented move, the editors of the New England Journal of Medicine have condemned the Trump administration for its response to COVID-19 pandemic, and they're calling for the current U.S. leadership to be voted out of office. That is kind of unprecedented for an auspicious Journal of Medicine, like the New England Journal of Medicine, the editors to actually take a side on this issue. An objective person can look at the way the president has handled this and see that he was on top of it from the beginning. They've had really well-coordinated responses. If you look at the way Vice President Pence has put together the response team and the daily briefings and the meetings, there's never been anything like this in history. In response to a pandemic, I think objectively, the Trump administration has done an amazing job of providing for the needs. You know, they took these, they had the Army Corps of Engineers build basically temporary hospitals. They had the Mercy and the Comfort show up and offer hospital beds for whoever needed them. That's never been done in the past, not on that scale, not for a pandemic. So to me, it's interesting that the editors of the New England Journal of Medicine are coming out and condemning him. To me, it means the medical technocracy is in panic. And as Q has said, this is all assets deployed. They are, everybody who is involved in the deep state, in the medical technocracy, in the church, in Hollywood, entertainment, in the media, they're all coming out after the president. It's, look, this is the most consequential presidential election our country has seen in two centuries. All right, just before we went live, Q posted, and this is a tweet to by Donald Trump, a link here. And Q writes, "Combat tactics, Mr. Ryan." Q. All right, so we heard that before. A couple of weeks ago, Q posted a link to the very end of a segment of a film, the film Hunt for Red October. And the segment that Q highlighted was where the Red October was being pursued, and they got into a kind of a battle scene, and the commander of one of the submarines fired torpedoes at the other one. So the torpedo was moving toward the ship, toward the submarine, and the commander ordered the submarine to be turned into the path of the torpedo and then to move at full speed toward the torpedo, right? Basically a suicide maneuver. The torpedo hits the hull of the submarine and shatters into pieces, and the suicide maneuver ends up paying off. So the skipper says, "Combat tactics, Mr. Ryan," all right, just to explain that, you know, it was a suicide maneuver, but it actually paid off. Well, the link to Q's video is to a tweet by the President Trump, and it's a video where he talks about being treated with the experimental drug Regeneron after getting COVID, and how he now believes that it should be made available to anyone who needs it. And let's listen to the president here.
Hi, perhaps you recognize me. It's your favorite president. And I'm standing in front of the Oval Office at the White House, which is always an exciting place to be. I got back a day ago from Walter Reed Medical Center. I spent 4 days there and didn't have to. I could have stayed at the White House, but the doctor said, because you're president, let's do it. I said, fine. You tell me what to do and I'm going to listen. These are great professionals. They've done a fantastic job. And by the way, not only at Walter Reed, all over the country, we have the greatest doctors in the world. We have the greatest nurses, the greatest first responders, law enforcement, by the way, incredible. Firefighters, everybody, they're just great. We have great people. This is a great country. But I spent 4 days there and I went in, I wasn't feeling so hot. And within a very short period of time, they gave me Regeneron. It's called Regeneron. And other things too, but I think this was the key. But they gave me Regeneron and it was like unbelievable. I felt good immediately. I felt as good 3 days ago as I do now. So I just want to say we have Regeneron, we have a very similar drug from Eli Lilly, and they're coming out and we're trying to get them on an emergency basis. We've authorized it, I've authorized it. And if you're in the hospital and you're feeling really bad, I think we're going to work it so that you get them and you're going to get them free. And especially if you're a senior, we're going to get you in there quick. We have hundreds of thousands of doses that are just about ready. I have emergency use authorization all set, and we got to get it signed now. And you're going to get better. You're going to get better really fast. This is things that nobody even thought of a few months ago. The job that the scientists, the labs, everybody have done is incredible. Then in addition to that, you have various other drugs that help a lot. But these, I view these, and now they call them therapeutic. But to me, it wasn't therapeutic. It just made me better. Okay? I call that a cure. So I want to get these things done. So we have to get them done. We have to get them approved. I want to get them to the hospitals where people are feeling badly. That's much more important to me than the vaccine. But on the vaccines, we have many companies that are in final stages for the vaccines, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer, all great companies, but many of them. And we're going to have a great vaccine very, very shortly. I think we should have it before the election, but frankly, the politics gets involved and that's okay. They want to play their games. It's going to be right after the election. But we did it, nobody else. Nobody else would have been able to do it. The FDA has acted as quickly as they've ever acted in history. There's never been a time, and no president's ever pushed them like I pushed them either, to be honest with you. But the FDA is approving things in a matter of weeks that used to take a matter of years. So we have these drugs, Eli Lilly and the others that are so good, but they are, in my opinion, remember this, they're going to say that they're therapeutic, and I guess they are therapeutic. Some people don't know how to define therapeutic. I view it different. It's a cure. For me, I walked in, I didn't feel good. A short 24 hours later, I was feeling great. I wanted to get out of the hospital. And that's what I want for everybody. I want everybody to be given the same treatment as your president, because I feel great. I feel like perfect. So I think this was a blessing from God that I caught it. This was a blessing in disguise. I caught it. I heard about this drug. I said, let me take it. It was my suggestion. I said, let me take it. And it was incredible the way it worked, incredible. And I think if I didn't catch it, we'd be looking at that like a number of other drugs. But it really did a fantastic job. I want to get for you what I got, and I'm going to make it free. You're not going to pay for it. It wasn't your fault that this happened. It was China's fault. And China's going to pay a big price, what they've done to this country. China's going to pay a big price, what they've done to the world. This was China's fault. And just remember that. So we're going to get you the drug. It's going to be free. We're going to get it into the hospitals as soon as you can, as soon as we can. And you'll see some amazing things happen, because we have, our military is doing the distribution. It's called logistics. And they deliver hundreds of thousands of troops in a matter of days. This is easy stuff for them. Our generals already, we're waiting for the emergency use authorization, and the drug companies have just made a lot of it. So hopefully this is going to be not just a therapeutic, it's going to be much more than a therapeutic. You're going to get better.
All right, so to me it's very interesting that the president decided to, now I'm not going to say that the president decided to get COVID. You don't decide you're going to get a disease unless actually he'd made a decision and you decide to just expose yourself to a pathogen knowing that you're going to get it. It's interesting that many people in the White House staff, and a lot of Republicans, ended up getting COVID. And none of the Democrats and very few of the members of the press are admitting to having tested positive. But the president said he was positive, went in, got the treatment with Regeneron, and now he's advocating making it available to anyone who needs it, making it available free. Here's the strategic part of that. So the press has been pushing this COVID thing, that it's something we need to be afraid of. They've been touting it as if it's almost worse than the bubonic plague. President Trump goes into the hospital, 3 days later comes out, feels great, he's completely better, and he destroys the narrative of the mainstream media that this disease is horrible, it's evil, it's wicked, it's gonna kill us all, we have to wear masks, we can't touch anyone, we have to social distance, we have to lock down, don't go to the polls, send in your ballots by mail. This whole narrative that the media has concocted just fell apart this weekend with the president going in, getting treated, coming back out. And the media is not happy, and the politicians are not happy either. I'm sure the deep state's not happy. So President Trump sort of, you know, got in the path of a bullet and took a hit, you know, got sick, took the treatment. I'm sure he knew what he was risking. And again, President Trump is so strategic. It just amazes me, his ability to outthink his opponents. And they keep falling for the traps. You know, they never learn. They should actually read the book, The Art of the Deal, because in that book, Trump basically tells you that he's strategic in everything. He's always planning and, you know, being a real estate developer, he always had to have contingency plans, always, you know, using deception and distraction to keep his enemies off guard. In real estate development, you have a lot of enemies. It just is, to me, is very funny that they never seem to learn. They're like the coyote and the roadrunner. I mean, no matter how many times you watch Coyote and Roadrunner, you always say, well, one of these times the coyote's going to learn, and he never does. One of these times you would expect the media and these silly politicians to get hip to what Trump is doing and realize that he's going to fake them out. He's gonna plan, and he's gonna spring it on him, and just watch. It's gonna happen, and it happens every time. I get a lot of humor out of watching the president work. Now, a lot of people are kind of freaked out. They're like, "Well, what about the election? What about the voter fraud? And what about this? And what about that? What about the riots and everything?" Well, I've been watching President Trump for 4 years, and I have seen people panic over and over and over again, fear and anxiety about this and about that. And, oh, what about this? And the deep state's going to get him, and they're going to do this, and they're going to overrun the White House, and he's not going to get out of it. And there's all this anxiety over what might happen. And all the things that people imagine in their minds that it might happen, never happen. They don't happen. Just look back at all the scenarios that people have come up with about how the deep state was going to get Trump, and they haven't been able to do it yet. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep him in prayer, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't be sober-minded and vigilant. We should. But I can't help it when I watch the president outsmart these people. I just think, wow, he is so cunning and so strategic in everything he does. To me, it's just entertaining and it's amusing watching him make these people look like fools. So my optimism and my good nature about all of this, why I chuckle and laugh through a lot of these broadcasts, is simply because I know that the president is way smarter than these people give him credit for. And that's the funny thing is, they deride him for being stupid, and they lampoon him for being foolish, yet he continually proves them to be idiots and to be slow-witted, to be kind of not very strategic in their approach to things. He always gets the best of them. He always has, and he always will. He's not going to change, and I don't think they're going to change. And I think as we move toward the election and after the election, he's going to be more in charge. After the election, I think we're going to see some interesting things. Once the election is certified and once the president has won the election, I don't think there's any doubt he's going to win a landslide. If the votes are counted fairly, he's going to win in a landslide. The polls are fake. I know there are people who are concerned. Oh, did you see this poll? Did you see that poll? The polls are fake. Look at the turnouts at the rallies. Look at the enthusiasm. He goes to the hospital and 1,500 people show up outside of his hospital all night long, and they're singing songs. The boat parades, the MAGA dragged the interstate, all the rallies, there's never been this kind of enthusiasm for a president ever.
Joe Biden goes to a rally, and the reason why they're holding Joe Biden in the basement of his house is because they know if he held a rally, he could only get a high school gymnasium of about 250 people to show up. That's what Hillary did. That was her big failure, was they had these rallies for Hillary in 2016. This is a gymnasium with a couple hundred people. I don't know that Joe Biden could draw 25 or 30 people who weren't paid at any local venue. And they know that. That's why they're keeping Joe Biden in the basement. They know there is no enthusiasm in the base for him. Despite what people say on social media, there's no enthusiasm. That's also why it wouldn't surprise me if Joe is not actually the one who ends up on the ballot in November. I know there's a lot of voting that's already going on. The ballot's been sent out. I get it. The way that election is structured state by state, and the way that people don't even realize the fact that when you turn in a ballot to your state, it goes to the election commission, and they count the ballots. Your ballot is not actually a vote for a particular candidate. It's a memo telling the electors in the electoral college for your state who they're supposed to vote for. And the electoral college decides who wins the election. And the electoral college can cast their votes for anybody they want. If the Democrats decide to put somebody else on the ballot and Republicans decide to put somebody else on the ballot, even if all the ballots were cast for people whose names are not there, the electors can vote for someone else. So it's not as clear-cut a process as a lot of people make it out to be. I know the ballots have gone out. I know a lot of people are voting, but it is not too late for them to do a switch. The deep state is in deep doo-doo. And the reason why I'm a little bit concerned is that I know how serious things are. I know how desperate the deep state can be. I would not be surprised if they try to start a war by launching a rogue missile launch somewhere, like they tried a couple of years ago. That wouldn't surprise me at all. That's what I would expect. I also expect that the president has excellent intelligence. He's very strategic. He's well advised. If there's anything coming, they're going to know about it. The military's going to know about it. They'll handle it. If some idiot rogue CIA agent decides to pop off a missile to try to start a war, I have confidence the military will handle it. But that's the kind of thing that I would expect them to do between now and the election. It's a serious situation. On the other hand, you can either sit there and worry about it, wring your hands, and be terrified every night and stay up all night, or you can put your trust in God and trust that President Trump is a smart guy and he's well advised and he's got this all under control. Doesn't mean the deep state won't try their little tricks. Being in control does not mean that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and rogue agents aren't allowed to do whatever they want to do. They can do what they want to do. They're going to try things. Doesn't mean they're not going to attempt to overthrow the president. But the president has the upper hand. He's got the military behind him. And he's got millions of patriotic people who love him and love the country. And that's all I have to say about that. All right. Thank you for joining me on the show. I am here, 7 p.m. Eastern-ish, Monday through Friday, on Cloud Hub, channel 115. Catch me live. Thank you for tuning in. Please keep me and Denise in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the military and the Secret Service in prayer. And I'll catch you on the next broadcast.